I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Right. What football gym names would there be?
Gabriel Barbelza.
Creatino Sprilia. Powder.
Elliptical Gunner Solskjaer.
Should we come back to this?
We should.
Bring it to Chelney, who's just received his second yellow card, and that's a red, and Arsenal are down to 10. It's going from bad to worse on the opening day for Arsene Wenger.
Welcome back to the Football Rambles Guide 2. I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Vidhi Raja.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Picture the scene. You're at the football, supporting your team. It's cold, it's dark, it's raining now, and worst of all, the idiots you support have given away a penalty in the last minute and lost a boring game 1-0 to the feckless team your dullard brother-in-law supports. It's November, and your season may as well be over already. You turn to your fellow supporters and ask, why? Why do we do this to ourselves?
I don't know.
Hope. Hope is why. Because next season, it might be different. And where does next season start? In beautiful August sunshine, with your exciting new signings running out for the first time, everyone starting afresh and the feeling that this time, it's going to be different because this is the opening day of the season.
On the opening day of the Premier League season, the form book is going out of the window.
It's a day of renewal, of relief that your team are back, that football is back, and that we're about to do it all again. Yes, with the opening day of the season upon us, we bring you the Football Rambles Guide to the opening day of the season.
And there is the final whistle. It's the opening game of the new Premier League season, and already we've witnessed a major upset. The first time the defending title holders have lost on the opening weekend of the season.
It's good, isn't it?
It's nearly here.
It's exciting. Yeah, I've got my new kit all ironed. Yeah. I've got the names ironed on the back of my shirt, which is risky because the transfer window is still open.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to get going.
And Ben Arfa's still not been brought in. You're hoping.
Ben Arfa, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm actually quite invested in the Newcastle sit kit this season because I hated that there was an accidental four on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yes. It was really visually jarring. It annoyed me every time I saw it, and now that abomination is over. Weird patterning, that.
I thought about getting the new kit, new Manchester United kit, this for the start of the season, because it looks quite nice. Mm. And then, being an older gentleman, I thought, why don't I just wait until April, do what I did last year?
Yeah.
And then I thought, no, actually, what I did last year was I paid £150 for two shirts. So one, I can just do that up front because I didn't save any money. And the person whose name I got on the back, Paul Pogba, is no longer there.
I think it's quite freeing, men of a certain age, aka I'm 41. No one's going to call me out and having fake stuff.
No.
You know, yes. I'm not in the schoolyard anymore. I can just get it cheap in China. Cheap from China.
Absolutely.
No one's going to notice. I was watching this guy unboxing like a load of, sometimes like you can buy these like kit boxes and you get like 10 kits or something in a box. And it's a surprise.
You don't know what they're going
to
be.
You don't know what they're mystery boxes. And this guy, and he was trying to figure out whether, because he was known on YouTube to be like an influencer, whether he was getting better kits than everyone else. And it turned out he mostly got fake ones from both sides. So
mostly
just fake kits. But he was showing them. He's going, well, I mean, that's clearly a fake kit. I was going, oh, it looks all right to me, man. I'll send it to me.
I'm sort of an influencer. one of my favourite things about the opening day of the season is you can really tell when some teams aren't ready.
Yes.
Like you get some shellackings sometimes. And also you get some really up and down games because you get the perfect storm where both teams aren't quite ready. So it's a little bit all over the place.
And it's usually defenders, isn't it? They haven't quite got their system. They haven't got quite familiar with each other. And, we'll come on probably talk about 1996, but there were some absolute stonkins. Apart from the 3-3 draw between Derby and Leeds and Middlesbrough and Liverpool, Notts Forest beat Coventry City 3-0. Man United beat, it's down here as Milton Keynes Dons, but obviously Wimbledon 3-0. There were goals flying in all over the place. Nobody could defend that season first
Absolutely.
Week.
Yeah, I mean, the Wimbledon, we might as well just come straight onto it. Mm. That was the game in which David Beckham scored from his own half, wasn't it? People talking about it being the halfway line. It was actually from within his own half.
Yeah.
And that...
No offsides.
What a moment.
The keeper probably went, he's in his own half. Am I offside? I don't know. Yeah. Can I be offside? What?
I've got to come back onside now.
On the same day, Ravanelli scored his debut hat-trick against Liverpool for Middlesbrough.
Right.
And that's got to be one of the most eventful opening days ever. Because those are two really, really iconic Premier League things.
It looks better now because Liverpool are a force now, and they weren't quite a force back then in the same way. So I think I remember being in the region when Ravenel was knocking them in for fun. It was just so exciting, and he looked about 50.
Yeah, the white feather, because obviously he had grey hair really, really early. One of the most eventful seasons in Premier League history for any player, I think. He scored 31 goals in 48 games over the whole
amazing.
Season.
Yeah,
he got to two cup finals, they lost both and got relegated. And he was an absolute icon there, and he spent his whole time there slagging off Middlesbrough.
Well, you know what we were saying about, you know, the opening, you said at the start, the opening day brings excitement. Imagine those Middlesbrough fans having a pint at the end of that first game thinking, we might do quite well here.
Right.
Tell you what.
Put a cup run together.
Yeah. He's going to keep banging them in. I mean, he did.
Yeah.
And they did put a cup run together.
Yeah.
Exactly. Quite, yeah.
What a rollercoaster of a season that was. He was absolutely incredible, though. But
bear in mind, that season also, I know we're not really talking about this, but that season finished with Middlesbrough being unable to put out a team against Blackburn, hence why they were relegated.
Right, of course, absolutely. I'd forgotten that. Absolutely, just the absolute basket case of a season. Just
back,
love
to,
it.
Yeah, just back to that night in the pub. Yeah. Honestly, this is going to be our year.
So strange. When your club signs new players and you're gearing up to the first day of the season,
or
the new
therapy.
Season in general, do you have a little daydream about like the moves the players might?
Oh, always.
Might make
always.
Yeah. I hope I'm doing that when I'm like 70.
But I'm like thinking about all the defenders we bought. Oh, Sven Botman's going to be slaloming. He's not going to be doing any slaloming. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
He's going to be making some blocks, some sick blocks.
It shows you how spoiled that I was in terms, or I am rather, as a United fan, that all this talk at the start of the season, you know, bear in mind, Frankie de Jong chat started before the season, before the last season had finished.
Right.
And he's in this weird impasse now with the club, with Barcelona and Manchester United, just going to, on the outside, waiting for them to make up, but realising that there's not much noise coming from the hotel room.
Yes. And he wants to stay with the guys who owe him €17 million.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's going a bit Tony Soprano there. But like when Christian Eriksen was announced and they did his announcement video, I was a bit like, okay, sure. And who else? And who else? So there's a real disparity between people, you know, I suppose your excitement and Pete, your excitement, and also my sense of like, we're doing it again. Yeah. This is really annoying. And then worrying that the first game of the season, they actually do quite well and think,
oh, we don't need anyone.
Fred and McTominay, it works. It works.
They've just needed all this time to gel together.
And Harry Maguire's back. That's fine.
Do you not think that seeing Alex Ferguson arrive at, I don't even think it's Old Trafford, wherever they were arriving for summit talks with Cristiano Ronaldo, it's just a great sign. It's just a great sign all over, isn't it? Really?
Even if it's purely coincidence, it's a great, great look.
Like Winston Wolfe at 90 years old.
It's quite a frightening day as well, isn't it? Before, if your squad doesn't feel ready, because then if you have an absolute stinker on the opening day, all the agents are like, whack $5 million on him.
Yeah, nice.
And like the sense that your squad isn't going to be quite ready at the start of the season. And let's be honest, most football squads throughout history aren't ready because you essentially want multiple players who are really kind of in their prime in every position. And it's like, what squad ever has that sort of balance? But it can be quite anxiety making.
Yeah. And for me, my main anxiety is waiting to see what Match of the Day titles we're going to get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you get new titles every year, don't you?
You do. Mm.
My favourite was, I think, 1997. It was so wonderfully homoerotic. It was, do you remember Sol Campbell with a pair of pliers just screwing in some studs?
Oh, yeah.
Righty. Pulling up his shirt and to reveal a Match of the Day shirt, you know, some kind of
bit of foreshadowing
for what happens later. Joe Kinnear punching the table, knocking a tea everywhere.
And, bit of foreshadowing.
And a really...
Where's Simon Bird? He's not a journalist yet.
And like Alan Shearer looks
Simon
like he's...
Chick at the moment.
Alan Shearer's doing some soft focus, kind of looks at the camera, and Roy Keane smiling. It was all... a bit sexy. I go back and watch that again. And then at the end, one of the final shots of the Match of the Day 1997 new title graphics, David Seaman and Ian Wright are together in a room and they've got some like kind of like cool lighting, but they're just by themselves in a room sitting way too close. Like their legs are touching. The entirety of their legs are touching. It's so fucking horny, lads.
I can feel that I'm going to go down a rabbit hole watching old Match of the Day intros now. Yeah. It's not something I've ever thought to do.
So kinky.
But I think Match of the Day is a big part of it in a sense though, isn't it? A great example would be when Alan Hansen said in 95 that they lost 3-1 to Villa on the opening day, and essentially this was the time that all the kids came out, Scholes and I think Beckham came on as a sub, and the Nevilles and Nicky Butt and Ryan Giggs had been there already, but was still quite young, and that was when Alan Hansen famously said, "You'll never win anything with kids."
Oh,
that was
it.
Yeah, and then obviously Man United went on to win the double.
It's when Alan Hansen famously said, "Ooh, who are those kids?"
That must have been
how
satisfying.
Many kids are they
on a personal level, Vish? Because that was a huge thing at the time, wasn't it? Because Match of the Day was, you know, like 5 billion people would have watched it because there are only 4 channels. So that's really, really resonated.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine is a Nottingham Forest fan and he is so happy to be included on Match of the Day.
So that was the point I was going to make. Yeah.
This is a thing that, as supporters of, you know, clubs who are regularly in the Premier League, that you forget how significant that is.
Yeah.
You just take it for granted, don't you? Yeah. Especially now that if you wanted to watch the highlights of a game, you can get 3-minute highlights on Sky Sports YouTube page at 5:15, I think.
Yeah.
And so, like, I found myself watching Match of the Day, you know, less and less, unless I want like a Sunday treat. Whereas before, I'd be like, right, 10:30, here I am, like, I'm going to watch this. Mm. But yeah, for teams that are new to the Premier League, this is the pull, isn't it? This is you're at the top table. I mean, you know, the bottom of the top table, but you're there.
But you're still there. The scraps are actually quite nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jesse Lingard just fell off the table.
Yeah, so, he has.
Gobble that up.
Actually, the way you've described that is a bit like, you know, it's his party. He's like, you know what, I'll just go around and talk to everyone and then come back to the original spot I picked for myself, which is my favourite spot. Yeah.
So Premier League teams have spent over £1 billion this summer, which is, you know, fairly standard at this point, isn't it? So, you know, as we've kind of touched on already, a lot of fans are going to have very high hopes for the season. And the Premier League fan hope table was released in July.
Jesus Christ.
Everton ranked bottom with 4.9 out of 10. That was shortly after they lost 4-0 4.9
hopes out of 10.
United, 4.9 hopes. Newcastle have risen 17 places. I think you're third in the hope table.
That's nice. I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess it's like a hopegasm, isn't it, I suppose? You're kind of like, you've had no hope and then suddenly an eruption of hope.
Yeah, it's quite dangerous actually, that, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Apparently if you sneeze eight times, you can get one hope.
I mean, who have Everton got first match of the season? Oh, it's Chelsea. Oh, dear. Yeah. That could be a bloodbath.
And they'll still be Everton by the time they face them, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though. Like, teams who have had a terrible back end of the season last season and haven't reinforced, and also teams that are coming up, they need to hit the ground running because you spend August, September stinking up the place. The manager's going to go. You're not going to be able to sign players for another 3 months. It's going to be a nightmare.
See, this is exactly what happens, isn't it? That instant catastrophizing. Yeah. So the moment that you know whistle goes and you get tonked on the first day, this is how it all feels. It's instant pressure, and it's very very real too. Like,
I, again,
it comes back to those teams not being ready, and I think for that reason we have quite mad things happen quite a lot. Arsenal have been involved in quite a few of them actually. It used to be fairly consistent on the first day. So when Laurent Koscielny made his debut, he was stretched off at half time, and this was the opening day against Liverpool in 2010, after Joe Cole, who was also making his debut, lunged in on him and got sent off. Koscielny then made it back onto the pitch for the second half but got two yellow cards in injury time. So I mean, just some people just aren't ready, although, you know, he had that in him. And the season after that, Jovinho was sent off on his Premier League debut for slapping Joey Barton. Starts off sounding unreasonable, like, doesn't it? You're only going to get two chances a season, so.
Yeah, may as well get him in, I suppose. You can't hope for that cup draw, can you?
No.
Might be injured.
Like that kind of angst, and well, I suppose it relates a little bit to Everton as well. It comes from, because this was a period where Arsenal was starting to teeter a bit, where it felt like, you know, the world was starting to realign, or rather the top of the world was starting to realign, and Arsenal weren't really part of it. Yeah. And it kind of felt like they were in this clutching phase, and like things like that started to happen. I'm not saying that's the start of like what people used to term the banter era of Arsenal, but it did feel like around that era, stuff happens to them. And like, you know, the famous phrase that you used of football happens to Arsenal, stuff was happening to them as well.
Yeah, very much. So it's really just like in the eye of the storm constantly. One of my favourite things, we talked a lot about teams not being ready, is when players aren't ready. You know, like Eden Hazard is not just like defensive about what he does on his holidays. He is like belligerent about how...
I would say proud.
Yeah, proud. It's like, I had a great time on holiday. I ate so much.
Yeah.
Like so much. And he's always maintained like it's no one else's business. It's like after he moved to Madrid as well, like this huge huge marquee signing, the replacement for Ronaldo. I love that.
It's like, I always think that because he's quite a funny character, and he has like, I think he has the same group of friends he grew up with. And you know, like, you know, when you're young, your friends like dare you to do stuff. I like the idea that someone was like chatting to him, like, you know, like this is like incredible move in your career. I was like, yeah, it is, yeah. Be so funny if you turn up fat. It would be funny,
yeah.
Let's start eating.
Yeah, let's eat everything.
We always used to have, I think when coming back, I think for 3 or 4 seasons, I think, well, it couldn't have been as long as 3 or 4 seasons actually, Hatton Ben Arfa and I think Mehdi Abid were two players who came back consistently chunkos, consistently overweight, which is quite funny because Hatton Ben Arfa once tried to throw a fridge at Alan Pardew, which I endorse, obviously. But we always had like
we always after he'd emptied it.
Exactly. Not a mini fridge either. A mini fridge might just about be doable.
Yeah,
a full
I guess
size
so.
Fridge
yeah.
A
smeg.
No chance. Yeah.
Remember John Parkin at Stoke?
Yes.
He would come back and he would have. He said he used to have fitness coaches at every club, but every time they tried to give him a diet sheet, he said he used to leave it in his boot. He said a boot full of diet sheets back in the day. And he said he would always be, so in the morning before a match, he'd have a full English breakfast. He'd frequently turn to a tuna crunch sandwich. Now, what is tuna crunch? What is the crunch?
Tuna and crisps?
Yeah, maybe.
I think you can also get celery to give it that crunch. I think it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wanted a healthier option, celery, but it's probably crisp.
Just, yeah. Just crunch onions, the bones maybe. Of a tuna fish. I don't know. It's pretty heavy stuff, but he would just always just turn up a few.
A fry-up.
Like at least a stone.
Every...
Before a professional football... And like he played in like the top three tiers consistently.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Jamie Vardy's omelette and Red Bull is one thing, but a fry-up is so heavy.
Even in Jamie Vardy's mad world, there is... You can see the thinking there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, if I'm not any good, at least I'd be fucking up for it. Parkin, imagine the burps.
Oh. Oily. I just antacid. Trying to slam antacids at half time.
But imagine.
Those little energy gels, but it's
though.
Just Gaviscons.
Imagine you're marking him and he's just like huffing and burping and like you can smell him from a mile away.
You know, when you like, you know, I primarily have. Fry ups when I'm hungover.
Yeah. Mm.
And you know, when you get that like 2 p.m. sweat, it's that, yeah. Grabbing your shirt, but like, fucking hell. Or your shirt turning see through.
Yeah. Although, actually, we all know that exercise is how you know, is what you need to do. We never do it because it's horrendous. But yeah. If you're playing a football match, actually, maybe it burns it off. Maybe it worked for John Parkin, so maybe we're wrong.
Maybe.
I played football last night and I'm on a health kick at the moment, but I'm not very good at it. And what I had for lunch was a single slice of toasted bread with a lot of gherkins in it. No butter.
In it?
Did
he wrap it up?
Not on it,
just,
in it.
Just wrapped it up like a little blanket. And I was doing some absolute blow-offs at football last night. Absolutely stinking I was.
Great. Olympia walked into the kitchen once where I was hungover and making myself a bacon sandwich and there was only one slice of bread. I didn't realise I'd made all the bacon and I buttered it. And she said it's the saddest thing she ever saw because rather than put the bacon on the bread, I used it as like a bread glove and grabbed the bacon.
Would you munch any of the bread? Like at the would the glove get smaller every bite?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Oh, so right. I grabbed it to like wrap it around and then like eat it like that. And she said, "We're like 2 minutes away from a shop."
Those days are just those days, aren't they? Sol Campbell.
Because last year,
it was this morning.
Sol Campbell came back apparently, you know, looking a little worse for wear when he was at Newcastle, wasn't he? And he said the training kit was not very flattering and showed up all sorts of things.
I have so many questions about that.
Yeah, all sorts of things.
Are you wearing a wire, Sol?
Like yeah. what do you call it when you do some mischief when you lift something and you
hernia?
Yes. Hernia. Just a big old hernia whopping around.
Yeah, how many different things could have been shown?
Yeah.
Strange, really, really strange. Not for the first or last time. Anderson as well. Your boy Anderson.
He was great little United. Chubby funster.
Yeah, exactly. He had exactly the same thing. He came back a little rotund, and he posted a picture of cakes in a patisserie on his Instagram. And when people started sort of questioning him in the comments, he replied, "I'm not fat. I'm sex." Ha. So
that's
not really sure what to make of that.
Yeah. Well, he's told you he's sex, he's not fat.
Yeah,
he's
that's sex. True. That's absolutely true.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home.
To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
So we asked our listeners what their favourite opening day moments are. Indeed, what your favourite opening day moments are. And we've had a few responses, Peter.
We have. From Jack on Twitter, Ian Holloway's Blackpool playing four strikers and blowing Wigan away 4-0. I mean, incredible stuff, really, isn't it?
It's bold.
It's bold, away from home, just putting four strikers in. But it seemed to work. From Richard, nobody in Leeds knowing much about Bielsa, an indifferent pre-season, and then turning up against division favourite Stoke and absolutely destroying them 3-0. We knew then it was going to be beautiful, and it was beautiful.
That's class.
That's nice.
Yeah,
that's
class. Because I think, for that particular example, all the talk in the lead-up to that first game was from, you know, the Andy Brassels of this world.
Yes.
Where people are like, look, he's a brilliant manager, and explaining why he's a brilliant manager. And as a match-going fan, you're a bit like, just tell us if he's going to get promoted, if we're going to get promoted or not.
Yeah.
Like, we don't care about all that. Is he going to be fun? Is he good? Do you just like him? Are we being sold a dummy here? And then to have that quashed at the first game of the season. And,
it's lovely.
You know, to see what happens since then is very nice.
Very much all of those stuff. Things.
James has come in with, being a Villa fan, it has to be the 1995 opening day where we were, we slaughtered the Manchester United kids 3-1. We won't talk about them getting the last laugh and winning the title or it being
needless
the last time we beat them at Villa Park. That day was magnificent.
There's been quite a few hat-tricks on Premier League opening day.
Okay.
Do you guys think you can name them?
Ooh.
Who is likely for my team to score a hat-trick? Probably.
Well, I can tell you there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Just 6, actually. So
Les,
not quite
Les
few.
Scored on his debut. That's my generation.
It's not Les.
No, it's not Les.
Van Nistelrooy scored 2 against Fulham.
Not a hat-trick.
Yeah.
Famously.
It's a gentleman's hat. It's a baker's hat-trick, actually. shitting hell. Yakubu? He's a hat-trick.
No, not Yakubu. Not Yakubu. It's a tough one.
Mitro's going to make it first game.
Yeah, he might do. Who knows? Okay, well, I'll put you out of your misery. Mickey Quinn against Arsenal in 1993. Now, that one, you know, very much from the annals.
Another man who did not pre-season properly.
Yes.
Diet-wise.
Well, didn't have to.
No, absolutely. Matt Le Tissier against Forest, and I don't think they actually won the game. I think they lost 4-3.
Good.
Kevin Campbell, Dion Dublin, Didier Drogba, and Gabby Agbonlahor with a 7-minute hat-trick against Man City in 2008.
Have that, Keezy. Fantastic.
Yeah. So, again, a real mixed bag of players there in terms of their careers. It just shows you that actually opening day is a weird one because people are at different stages of readiness.
I don't know. I mean, they all look like, I mean, they're all established Premier League forwards, aren't they there?
Absolutely. But then, you know, very few of them are near the top scorers list, you know.
Also, hat-tricks are quite rare in themselves. So it's, I suppose it adds to the randomness of it. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird collection of names.
It is.
You wouldn't want to have dinner with most of them?
Certainly not with all of them.
No. Yeah, not at the same time.
Yeah.
Could be all right.
So it's the Premier League's opening weekend this weekend. What are you excited about? What are you looking forward to?
What am I looking forward to? I think I am most looking forward to seeing a game of substance. I can't do pre-season. I can't do As in, like, you know, watching it.
No,
I
was highlights, yes, but I'm not going to.
I was double screening a Bilbao. Was it Bilbao? No, who were we playing? We're playing some Portuguese side. Benfica, I think, Newcastle last night. And there's also the Lionesses playing. And just, I just stopped watching the Newcastle match after a while. Joe Linton got sent off. I was like, come on, this is stupid.
Just the Lionesses and old match of the day intros for me.
But it's that thing of like, you know, there's only so much you can take out of pre-season as a punter.
Yeah.
And even, you know, people get better access, so you hear more about plans, players and tactics and stuff like that. But you're like, yeah, this could all be totally redundant in a week's time. Yeah. So I think that's what I'm looking for, seeing some like tangible progress from a United point of view.
Yeah.
And please don't lose to Jules Breach's Brighton.
Oh yeah, of course. Oh, that'd be what a terrible, terrible marker that would be for you.
Yeah.
Fun.
That's awful. Yeah, yeah. So Arsenal were away at Crystal Palace, which was, you know, an absolute shellacking last season. So
and the first game,
under the lights as well, and echoes of Brentford last season, which Arsenal lost. So I'm just hoping to see some confidence and some control, and just, you know, just get a glimpse of what the new look team's going to be like, actually. How about yourself?
I'm off to get pissed at Newcastle.
Yes!
Are you going?
Watch them against Forest.
Who are your sort of other team, aren't they?
Yeah, I do like a bit of Forest. Eddie Howe has, I don't know what he's been doing and how he's done it so quickly, but he's become incredibly hench over the summer months, and I really want him to disrobe at some point.
Like Fernando Torres did.
Yeah, it's like not quite as big as him, but he's looking pretty fucking muscular. And what's his bloody name?
Oh, Jesus. Is he having a midlife crisis?
I don't know.
Does he think more people are going to fight him? Look, if you're going to survive in this city, you've got to be able to handle yourself.
So, I just want to see him take his top off. So there you go.
Fair enough. Well,
and John Joe Shelvey's got very thin as well.
Has he?
I'm wondering, these very different body shapes happening.
Oh, maybe Eddie Howe's been eating John Joe Shelvey's food.
Yes! Do you reckon it's an abuse case we need to follow up closely?
Oh, not another one.
It's like kind of, you know, when you sort of, what is it when like old people get taken advantage of by carers?
Oh, yes.
It's a bit of that.
Panorama.
Yeah, we need to panorama Eddie Howe.
All or nothing's about to get pretty. Very, very dark.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that is it for another Football Ramble Guide 2. Thank you very much for listening. We want you to tell us what you'd like us to chat about. If you fancy learning more about one of football's great players or managers or just one of its many maddening rules, then get in touch and tell us. Email us show@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble with your suggestions. Thank you very much, guys. See you next time.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year. just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.